Wow, there are really people here. This is wonderful. Good morning, everyone. Let me put my things down and unpack and all that good stuff here. It is good to see you all here this morning. I'm John Tyson, the worship pastor, and for a couple of weeks I've been COVID boy. So I've been kind of out and isolated along with my wife, but praise be unto God. Things are going great. We're doing well. Rhonda, my wife, is doing well, too. I still have the house key, and so I'm able to go back home once this is done. We haven't just been too tough on one another or anything, but it's been a blessing. I want to let you know that not only am I glad to be here, I had an opportunity to share with one of the pastors as I was getting ready to dump and to unload on him. Just after I'd found out, you know, some results. And one of the comments that I remember him making was this. He said, you know, and I told him, you know, I'm not able to be there, you know, not able to do things, though. But he said, you know, God has blessed us with a wonderful team. And the great part about that is that we are not left to do all things on our own by ourselves. But there are others who are around that are willing to assist and to help and to work in service and honoring the Lord and serving you all. And so we have people that are a part of our team that's just been a tremendous blessing. Brother Austin and, you know, the band and the worship team and everyone else and those pastors and staff members that have been in the office, they've just been around here and they've just picked up, you know, where things have been left off. And so we praise God for them. I praise God for them. And for those of you who shared and brought meals to us, perhaps a text message or a phone call, and have been praying for us, we want to express our appreciation to you. Thank you so much for not only doing that, for thinking about us. And we realize and understand that we're not the only ones. There are others who are around. And so we've been praying for them, and you have been praying for them also. And so we appreciate that. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. I want to share something with you before we get into to what we're going to be talking about this morning. Starting next week and running through most of January, Pastor Eric will be preaching from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, in a series that's going to be titled, In God We Trust. In God We Trust. And he'll be doing that for the next 4 Sundays. Now, he's going to be preaching on topics that are going to be focusing on our church vision and also on financial stewardship. I'm looking forward to the series, and I hope that you will too. What I'd like for you to do is throughout this week and the weeks to come is to pray, you know, that as God speaks to us, we will in turn act, that he may be glorified as we go through this series. So now what we're going to do today, we're going to have the opportunity to complete the messages that we have had that are dealing with this particular topic. So that's what Christmas is all about. Yes, I understand that Friday was December 25th and it was Christmas and we had a chance to spend time together, but we're going to complete this series. So in a sense, we have bleed over Christmas in our teaching series. So we want you to join in with us as we talk about that. And as we review the titles of the messages that we have shared is this. This is all based on 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. And we have gone through these titles here. Jesus is fully man. Pastor Eric did a wonderful job on that. And also, Jesus is fully God. And then last week, Jesus makes fellowship possible. And then today we're going to talk about Jesus makes full joy possible. Scott, I was just thinking about this. You know, even at Fellowship Bible Church in our local church, we cover all extremes. We can be relaxed and we can refresh and enjoy in the moment, but then we can also have full joy. And so we're going to have an opportunity to talk about that as we're sharing from God's word today. So I hope that you are prepared and hope that you are ready so that we may go through this together. So that's what Christmas is all about. Here's what I want to do. I'm going to be spending the majority of the time this morning in verse 4 But I'd like for us to read all four verses, this prologue that we find in this epistle of 1 John. Okay, so follow along with me as I read this to you, and then afterwards we'll go to the Lord in prayer. It says here, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 4, and we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the word of God. Let's pray. Our Father God, we love you. And thank you, Lord, for your love expressed to us by the many things that you have, Lord, shared and given to us. Lord, you've been so gracious to us, and you've also been so merciful to us. But you've been loving in that you've sent your one and only Son, Jesus Christ. And this, Lord, is a time, this is a day in which we can not only remember, but we can in turn, Lord, together, united with all things in common, rejoice. Because you are worthy of praise, Lord, and you bring us joy. Help us, Lord, Father, to listen to you not only with our ears, but also with our hearts that will be open and in tune, Lord, to what thus says the Lord. And Lord, as we hear what you share with us, that we would in turn, Lord, Father, apply those to our lives, that, Lord, we may bring you glory and that it would be for our good. So thank you, Lord, for this time that we have now. We pray this prayer in Christ's name. Amen. Jesus' desire was to bring salvation to his people. Not only he wanted them to be safe, but he also wanted for them to be happy. Not only to be safe, but to rejoice in their salvation. And the purpose of this epistle in verse 4, we'll find here that it says that your joy may be full. John, as he is inspired by the Spirit, wants our joy and the joy of these believers in absolute fullness. He repeats this phrase several times if you would read through this epistle. You see, it's not about, it is about who you know and what you know about him being Christ. And we know about Christ through the reading and the studying of his word. See, we want to rightly divide the word of truth, making sure that we understand what the scriptures are saying. And if we were to turn in this epistle to the 5th chapter in verse 13, we'd find these words. It says here, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Notice at first here it says, who believe in the name of the Son of God. It is that steadfast, that continuous confidence. And secondly, joy comes when we understand, when we know, when we are confident, and we have the assurance of eternal life. You see, there is nothing joyful about one thinking that one's salvation is dependent upon its works. You know, if your salvation is dependent on your works, you're destined to fail. None of us would get to heaven. None of us would be able to live within the presence of God. Ah, but we have the assurance of eternal life because we are trusting in what Jesus has done, not in what we've done for ourselves. You know, many people in the world today, they've resorted to finding this joy in temporary good feelings. come from material things or those things that make them feel good, but only for a short period of time, only to return to their hopelessness, longing for, looking for just another temporary, short, good feeling. You know, they'd like to escape the struggles, if only for a minute, never knowing that there is joy that lasts eternally. Joy comes when we have the assurance of eternal life, and we are believing in the name of the Son of God. We are believing in Jesus. So we would ask this question here. So why this passage? You know, when we have Luke and we have Matthew and we have those other Christmas accounts that we've heard about, why this passage? Well, because it shows us the effects of Christmas. See, it teaches us what Christmas means. It means that we can have eternal life. See, eternal life is not so much about how long we live, but it's about how we live. We live knowing about God and knowing about Jesus Christ. Pastor Eric had mentioned this in one of his sermons, though. When we read the prologue of 1 John, it reminds us of the prologue that we find in the Gospel of John. Gospel of John, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And that Word is pointing us back to the Genesis account, which says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." John, in his gospel account, is saying, as you look back over history to the beginning point and just beyond, there existed the eternal Son of God, the Word, the divine expression of God. He was there with God in the beginning. And John would say was not a created being. Everything that was made, every living thing, every passive thing that was made by him and made through him. And he says a similar thing here. That which was from the beginning, he is speaking of the eternal nature of Christ. And John here may be reminding the readers and us that Jesus is the one who was and who is and who is to come, that he was more than just a man, more than a rabbi or prophet or a good teacher. No, he is eternal God. He is the Son of God. Can you say amen? I just want to know that you're here this morning, that's all. You say amen, if you will, to us also online. We're so glad to have you here. Thank you for joining us. John also pointed out to the readers that he was there at that time. He is sharing his personal experience. He says here in the scriptures, he said, "That which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and touched with our hands concerning the word of life." John is saying he not only heard the public teachings of Christ, but he also heard the private teachings of Christ. Just imagine what it would have been like to be there with the Lord Jesus Christ on the Mount of Olives, to hear the discourse, perhaps even be there at the Sermon on the Mount, to hear Christ as he taught. What a glorious experience that would have been. John had this amazing experience because the Lord was amazing. He had said to John, "Come, follow me." And John is saying here, he says, "We were there. We heard every word that he said." You see, people were drawn to Jesus because they heard the words of everlasting life. The eternal word of God was being spoken to them. So now, how does this apply to us in the 21st century? Look at it this way. Our faith is rooted in truth, as it's been declared by the apostles, as it has been inspired by God. One day we will see. One day we will set our eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. One day our hands will touch. But today we can hear. Today we can perceive. Today we can dig into and study the Word of God. Today we can know that God wants to speak to us. You know, every time we open the Word of God, it is His desire to speak to us. You ever wonder if God is speaking to you? You ever have that time? I don't know. I don't know if God is speaking to me. Let me ask you this question. Are you reading your Bible? If you are reading your Bible, then God is speaking to you. The issue really is this. Is your heart open? Are you humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God? Are you receiving? Are you beholding? You know, it's my prayer, it is my hope that we will pursue full joy that's found in Christ, the Word. Those of us who are saved, those of us who have been born again, if our trust and faith is in the Lord, our salvation is secure. But our maturity as a believer in Jesus Christ depends upon your willingness to dig into the things of the Spirit. The more we are determined to pray, the more we read and study God's Word consistently, continuously, and apply His truth to our lives, we will find that those are the times that we're growing spiritually the most. Every time we look into the Word of God, we're hearing, in a sense, from Jesus Himself. But the question is, are we listening? Are we listening? John here is saying, we make this declaration to you. This is the truth. Jesus, His life was made manifest to us, and we are bearing witness. Eternal life, which was with the Father, was manifested to us. So why is He making this declaration? And when we find out here in verse 3, we see this here. We see that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, listen, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So what is fellowship? I think this deserves repeating. Pastor Eric has shared this term with us, koinonia, which means commonality. Commonality, not just hanging out together. It's about what we have in common. Not about the brotherhood of humanity, but about the blood of Jesus Christ. John is saying, we want to make sure you have fellowship with us, that you are one with us. We want to make sure you have these things in common with us, that you truly have salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ, that you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that you are truly a child of God. See, because truly our fellowship, our commonality is with the Father and with Jesus Christ. Then we went to John 17, verses 20 through 23, and Jesus was praying to the Father for them, and He says here, this is great, I pray that you make them one just as you and I are one. That fellowship, that communion, that oneness Jesus had with the Father. The preposition with here is a Greek word that means face to face, complete, total harmony. absolutely no division or disunity. This is what the Father and the Son has. And Jesus' prayer is that we would have that same fellowship, that same commonality, that same unity with one another. When we know Christ Jesus as the Son of God, acknowledging that he was fully God and fully man, and trusting in him as our Lord and Savior, and we have fellowship with God, Christ, and other believers, then we can know that in Jesus we have complete joy. Now, John gets to the purpose here in verse 4. He says that your joy may be complete, that our joy may be full. So what does joy mean? Does it mean happiness? Is it an emotional experience? Is it just a reaction after we've been to a great restaurant? Is it what we have when we've had a great circumstance in our lives? I venture to share with you this morning, joy is so much more than that. It's not just an emotional reaction when we have a great circumstance before us. No, we know that one of the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Joy is something that runs deep in our lives. It's something given to us by God the Spirit. Joy is a result when we are heavenly minded, when we are set on the things of God, when we are finding our peace and our strength in God, when God is our focus, when he is the anchor of our soul, when we are walking in the Spirit, then we will be experiencing joy. Regardless of what's happening on the surface of our lives. And that's the amazing thing about joy. We can be going through suffering and pain and difficulty and loss, and you can still be experiencing joy in your life. And what else is joyful is we can live free from the domination of sin in our lives, free from the error of false doctrine, because we're standing squarely on the truth of God's word. Now, we're going to have a little bit of congregation participation, and we can hear you there online also, so we want you to do this too. In the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, Scripture tells us to rejoice sometimes. Rejoice always. Yeah, it tells us to rejoice every now and then. It rejoice always. No, it tells us to rejoice always. How often? Always. When times are great. When times are tough. When circumstances are blessings and everybody loves you. Yeah, when people are abandoning you and saying all manner of evil against you falsely. Rejoice always. That's what it tells us to do. Always. Why? Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. John writes, we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. John is saying here, I don't want your joy to be anemic. I don't want to have a cup that's half empty. And the Greek word for complete here is a term that means to be pouring over. And in actuality, it's like running over. So much that it pours out of a cup, onto your clothes, and onto the floor. We're talking about joy that's overflowing. So why is it that we as believers are so bitter, so bummed out? Why are we so discouraged? Why are we so depressed? That's not the scriptures. That's not what the Bible says. You know, when you came to Jesus, it wasn't like you just lost all this stuff and you had to sacrifice it all and now you're living this miserable life. No, you've given up all these things that are destroying you. You have now exchanged them for things that are now lifting you up and pouring over. It's not about playing a game. This is about the joy of the Lord is your strength. And when we are focused on the Lord, when we are rejoicing always, we're going to find that we will be in the that he will be in the strength of your life. God wants to make us joyful believers. God wants to make us joyful believers. So when we turn back to the Gospels and we look at the Gospel of John chapter 16, we find that Jesus is sharing with his disciples a message of joy, even though they will experience in here great sorrow. If you have a chance, go back and read John 15, 16, and 17. Jesus has been with the disciples for several years, and they're thinking the kingdom will come to overthrow all the nations. But then Christ shares this message that they will see him no longer. Then they will see him. So they're kind of confused here. You know, in here we find it says, truly, truly, I say to you, or in some translations, I tell you the truth. And what Jesus is doing here, he is introducing a prediction that their coming grief, praise the Lord, will be followed by joy. And as we look at verse 20, here's what we see. Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. That's a different kind of joy that we're talking about there. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. His death will be agony for them, but the world will be happy. The death of the Messiah, which caused them to weep and mourn, will bring them joy. His resurrection and the intervention of the Spirit would enable them to know that he had to die so that they would be forgiven for their sins. And look at verse 22. Verse 22 shares with us, so you have sorrow now. Jesus says, but I will see you again. And your hearts will rejoice. And no one will take your joy from you. When he saw them after his resurrection, their joy erupted. Joy that will never end. Since he died to sin once, but now lives forever. Guys, isn't it great to know that you can have joy that can't be taken away? The world didn't give it, and the world didn't take it away. Brother Austin, no, there ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. And we were just jamming when we were singing that this morning. But it's true. And Scripture shares that with us. Joy that the Lord gives us, the world can't take it away. We can hold on to that forever. Have you placed your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? I venture to let you know this morning that full joy is available because of the person of Jesus Christ. Going through religious works will never save you. It'll never satisfy you. It'll never meet your needs. You know, the empty feeling, that hole in your heart, can only be filled by Jesus Christ himself. And Jesus is calling you to himself. He wants you to trust in the salvation that he brings. He wants you to know what complete, full joy is in him. You know, we had the opportunity just a couple of days ago during our family time together, and we had family time together virtually, but it turned out to be a beautiful time. We had the chance to read several times the Christmas story. That's found in Luke chapter 2. And in verses 8 through 11, we find here that there were shepherds in the field. You know, the shepherds had a lowly position here. And notice that even in their lowly position, an angel of the Lord came to them with a message of joy, which says here, "Do not fear, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." We're talking about the greatest gift we ever have received, Jesus Christ. Salvation given to us by grace in Christ alone. He is the reason for our joy. He is the reason we can rejoice. And every year about this time, we remember. But you know what's greater than that? Every day we can remember. God incarnate, deity, Emmanuel, God with us. And we can know him. It's like a prayer that we could pray to the Lord. Prayer of action. We want to dwell in your word, Lord. We want your word to dwell in us. We need to plead to God, Lord, make changes in us. We want you to fill us to overflowing with your joy as we set our eyes on you, Jesus, that our cup would be so full that there would be no room for bitterness, no room for being critical or judgmental. The overflow of our lives, Lord, we pray will bless others around us. That our joy will not be just for us, but for others also. Jesus, fully God, Jesus, fully man, allows us to have fellowship with God the Father and Jesus Christ, and also with one another. Commonality. And the fellowship that we can have in Christ, we can have full joy. And my brothers and sisters, there are many of us who need to hear this message and know that there is something well beyond temporary joy. There is joy that Jesus gives that the world cannot take away. 2021 is coming up pretty soon. How are you going to take on that new year? Is it a continuation? Is it going to be even less joyful? Or are you going to have great joy because you're not looking at your circumstances or situations? You're looking to Christ, who is eternal life. I'm going to share these next steps with you. And if you will, and I know Jay alluded to it a little bit earlier, but I want you to take out your connection cards now. And on the back of that connection card, you're going to find this next steps section. And as we walk through these, I'd like for you to mark those that you're going to be committed to, that you will commit to. We also want you to let us know how we can pray for you. Number one, I will commit to have a greater view of Jesus joyfully. See, we have an opportunity to look into God's word because he has given us his word. And as we look into it and as we read and as we study and as we apply to our lives, we can do that joyfully. Number two, I will commit to unity with believers and neighbors joyfully. We have that commonality. We have that commonality, which is Christ. But what it should also do is spur us to go to our neighbors and to share with them the good news that there is a greater joy than the temporary joy they're experiencing, and that it can be found in Christ. And we can encourage our brothers and sisters to do the same. And I will commit to live in the hope of God's grace, mercy, and compassion joyfully. Guys, you have Christ. You can live a life of joy. Because greater is He who's in you. And I hope that that's what we will do. Let's take on this task. Let's take this opportunity that we have now to be joyful in our lives and all things. It's the desire of Christ. That's what He wants for us to do. God loved the world so much that He sent His Son into the world to save the world. Jesus Christ is salvation. Emmanuel, God with us. He is no longer a baby in a manger. And because of Christ, we have fellowship with the Father and with Jesus, and we also have commonality with other believers. And in Jesus, we have full joy because Jesus makes full joy possible. And that's what Christmas is all about. Are you joyful this morning? Can you give a hand clap of praise to the Lord this morning? Yes, hand claps are good, but He is worthy of our praise. Let's remember that. At 2:33 this afternoon, can you give a hand clap of praise unto the Lord? I hope that we can at all times, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. God bless you.